Drama International.
Tonight's story is The Horror of It All, written by Pete Haslam and introduced by Robin Bowerman.
One day it can open the door to riches, adulation, acceptance. The next, it can slam that very same door in your face and throw you into the gutter. That's what often happens to those in the precarious professions of theatre, film, the arts. And that's what almost happened to Evelyn Debris. But Miss Debris was a survivor. And how? As young writer Tom Sweeting was to find out the day he first called to interview her for his book, still shining brightly, Yesterday's Stars.
Miss Debris?
It is I, dear heart.
My name's Tom, Tom Sweeting. You may remember speaking to me on the phone recently. You kindly agreed to talk to me about your experiences in theatre and film.
Oh, why, of course, darling boy, do come in. Oh, please forgive Hitch. He's always a little noisy with strangers. Although he's only tiny, I think he'd really like to take a lump out of your leg if he could. You know these little dogs, beneath that nervous exterior, there beats the heart of a lion. Down, Hitch, bad boy. Nice man has come to see Mummy, hasn't he? He won't hurt Mummy Kings, will he? Say hello, Hitch.
Hello, Hitch.
No, dear, I meant the dog. Say hello to the lovely, scrummy young man, Sweetie Pie. Oh, I say, doesn't he just love you? Look at him, licking you. Bless dear little Hitchy kids.
Yeah, lovely dog, I'm sure, thank you. Just one question. Why is he called Hitch?
After the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock, or Hitch for short, as we used to call him. He was a real character, one of the greats. Well, come into the drawing room, Pumpkin, and we'll make a start, shall we?
Lovely, thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Come with me, darling. Follow me. Oh, Hitch, do get out of the way.
It's a lovely place, darling.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're nearly there, dear. This is my gorgeous lounge. It is simply beautiful, isn't it? Come here, sweetie, and sit by me. My hearing's not what it was, you know. Now, where do you want to start?
Well, I'll just need to set up my recorder, Mr. Prey. Hang on a minute.
A fiddly little thing, isn't
it? Yes. Right. Now, if you just do a bit of level for me, please.
Certainly, darling. What do you want me to say?
Just one sec. There we go. What did you have for breakfast? That sort of thing.
Let me think. I began, as always, with coffee and croissant, followed by half a grapefruit and some toast. For lunch, I had meat. I'm not a great vegetarian. There's nothing I like better than a juicy piece of rump. That enough?
Yes, it sounds fine, Mr. Prey. Yes, let's start then, Mr. Prey.
Evelyn, please, dear heart. So less formal.
Okay, Evelyn.
Yes.
When did it all start for you then?
I can remember it as if it were yesterday. In fact, I can remember it better than yesterday. 1941. I was on stage in a review with Tommy Tonks. He was a comedian.
Really?
So he thought. The review was called I Don't Mind If I Do. That was one of his ghastly catchphrases.
Very saucy.
He made a couple of cheap films in the North. Manchester, I think, based on his character, Will Get It. Will he get it? You understand?
Yes.
They weren't very funny to us here in London, but the mill workers flocked to see him. And at the music hall, too. So, on the strength of his popularity, he got his review.
And where did you come into it, sir?
I was his leading lady, unfortunately.
And did you get on?
Horrible, dirty little man, foul-mouthed language and breath.
Oh,
one night, he tried to have his wicked, evil way with me.
Really?
He thought I was an easy target. I was young, in my first bloom of beauty. And he tried to get his evil way.
And what exactly happened?
I ate him for breakfast.
Pardon?
I knocked hell out of him. He never touched me again.
Really?
And on she went. For hours, the material was unbelievable. Her memory for events and dates, people and places was a treasure trove of times past. Tom was thrilled.
Listen to me going on, sweet pea. Oh, dear. Would you like some tea? Perhaps a slice of my homemade Madeira cake as well. Can I tempt you? It looks like you could do with fattening up. There's hardly enough on you to feed a mouse.
Oh, that would be lovely, Evelyn. But I must be going. I should really get back home and type this out.
I suppose there's some little girl waiting for you with some delicious concoction.
No, there's not, I'm afraid. I'm on my own.
Well, what do your parents think about your book and all the work you're putting into it?
They'll never know, Evelyn. I'm afraid they died some years ago.
Oh!
In a boating accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry, darling. How absolutely ghastly for you. And how tactless of me to bring up the subject. Please, please forgive old Evie.
Oh, of course. Oh. You weren't to know, don't worry.
But I do, darling, I do. We humans weren't designed to be alone. Well, that's what I kept telling each of my five husbands.
Five husbands?
Yes. But look, I must tell you about them some other day.
Yeah.
Are you sure I can't tempt you to my Madeira? It's a very special recipe.
Yeah.
Quite unlike anything you've ever tasted before.
No, thanks. Maybe next time. There's always tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Fine, darling. Just fine. You know, you're a lovely boy. So full of life and vigour. Inquisitive, intelligent, a certain charm. You remind me of husband number three, Godfrey. Oh, bless him. He came to an untimely end in the kitchen.
Really?
It was an accident. He got a little too close to the cooker. Oh, there was nothing I could do for him. Still, hey-ho, that's showbiz.
Okay, then, I'll be seeing you tomorrow, then. Will you be all right on your own?
Oh, I'll be just hunky-dory now. Off you trot. But you won't get away with not trying some cake tomorrow. We must get you fattened up. You'd be doing an old lady a great favour.
Well, if you put it like that, how can I refuse? Thank you, it'll be a pleasure. You remind me a bit of my old nan. Only more glamorous, of course. She always fussed.
That's what we old ladies are good at. Fussing. I just want to serve you, look after you. Till tomorrow, dear sweet sweeting. Au revoir, mon chéri.
I'll be on my way then.
And so Tom left Evelyn safe in the knowledge of a good day's research, and Evelyn was quite pleased with herself too, though for a very different reason.
Well, Hitchy-poo, isn't young Tom absolutely adorable? It's going to be lovely having such a scrumptious young man around the house, isn't it, dearest doggy? It's been a very long time since we had someone for dinner. Gainsborough Studios during the war. He spliced together some clips for me. So, are we sitting comfortably?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Let the command performance begin.
But, Nigel, I don't think I can stand the thought of you going away to war. Yes, I know you'll be fighting for our liberty, our national way of life, but what about our life? Yours? And mine.
You know I must, Veronica. The Boche are in Calais. They could invade at any time. Then it would be goodbye to everything.
Nigel, kiss me once more before you leave. Farewell, my brave Nigel. Godspeed.
Goodbye, my dearest. But I shall return, darling. I shall return to you. And a better world.
That was a clip from one of my most successful wartime weepies. The Brighter Horizon with dear old Claude Aubrey as Nigel. Oh, he was great fun to work with, but very camp. He used to lay flowers at the feet of the doorman at the Savoy, you know. Terribly embarrassing in real life, really, but in films, oh, he was just right. Very upstanding, square-jawed English hero.
And what happened to him?
Oh, he ended up in an old folks' home in Eastbourne. All very sad. When I see those flickering images up on the screen, I think about how I am now, the old lady, and see myself as that flighty, feisty young heroine, a gypsy driving James Mason wild, making love to a Victorian hero like Stuart Granger. Oh, well, they're all gone now.
Are you okay, Evan?
Yes, my darling. Fine, thank you. Anyway, let's see some more, shall we?
And the show went on, with clips from Evelyn's films. Then, after the show finished and the curtains drawn back, Tom asked Evelyn about her wilderness years.
Things changed after the war. All those kitchen sink dramas written by the angry young men. Elegance, breeding and wit was out. Realism, or their version of it at any rate, was in. No room for me. Oh, I began to guest occasionally on those TV adventure film series in the 60s. I became a character actress. And then the work eventually, well, dwindled away to nothing. Do you know, I was stopped one day in the supermarket by an old lady. "Didn't you used to be Evelyn Debris?" she asked. To which I replied with a tear in my eye, "Indeed, I did." Until one day the phone rang and it was Tony. Tony Talbot, a young man with a great personality and joie de vivre. And he asked me if he could send me a script called Blood Feast. Now, I'd never taken much notice of this cheap and tacky horror stuff, but he was offering me a good whack for it, and we could make it at a small independent studio close to where I lived. So I said, yes. And I never looked back. I became known as the Grand Duchess of Gore. It was then that I got a real taste for horror.
Please, I'd love to know more about this period, but I don't know about you. I feel like we should take a break.
Shall
we have a cuppa? Don't worry, I'll make it, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, sweetie, and I'll get the Madeira.
Lovely.
But I must just pop to the little girl's room first.
Tom went into the kitchen to prepare the tea. He looked out into the well-ordered garden, the colours of the summer flowers, the bees buzzing around, and the beautiful balmy day made him feel at peace with the world. Things were good. This book would make him famous, and he was enjoying every minute of his research. Suddenly, he noticed an old shed down at the foot of the garden covered in ivy, apart from the door. He fancied investigating further.
This looks interesting. I love rickety old sheds like this. I wonder what's inside. Lovely old tools, and probably a smashing old-fashioned lawnmower. I can just imagine that.
Then, Tom felt a presence, followed by a skeletal hand grasping his shoulder tightly. For a split second, he was terrified.
What do you think you're doing?
Oh, Evie, I'm really sorry.
There's nothing to see in there, dear. Oh, a freezer, an old axe and a chainsaw. You know, the usual type of things one has in a shed.
Yeah, right. Please forgive me. It was a bit rude.
Come and have your tea and cake. I don't know about you, dear heart, but I'm absolutely ravenous.
Oh, right. And, yeah, lovely.
Is that all right?
Oh, thanks. That's lovely.
Now, let me tell you about my horror years.
Oh, please, yeah.
Cake.
Oh, yes, please.
Is in the 80s I started working on those Tony Talbot films.
The Corella the Cannibal
series? Oh, yes,
series.
Yes, it was a role I could really get my teeth into and have great fun. Don't forget your cake.
Right.
There you are, darling. All right?
Thanks, yeah. So they They saved you from bankruptcy.
Oh, indeed they did. After I'd lost husband number five, things became, how shall I put it, a bit tight. I'll tell you something else, too. Those films gave me a taste for flesh.
Flesh fest.
Yes.
That was probably the one you were most famous for.
Yeah.
You know, that gang quiet cult following. I thought you were great as Corella.
No, darling. I wasn't great.
Oh, do you think not?
No. I was unbelievably fantastic. Oh, yes, Flesh Fest. That was the one where I lived out in the country in a big old rambling house and devoured some poor unfortunate students, one by one, after they'd broken down and called on me for help. Of course, that couldn't happen here, in the middle of London, could it?
Of course not.
There have to be all the elements. Cannibal, victim, and it all has to be done quietly and cleanly. Here is too busy, too noisy. Mm. Or is it? When you think about it carefully, you could quite easily kill someone in a house like this, and their screams for mercy would probably never be heard. Traffic around, planes overhead. You know, these days, neighbours round here don't pay much attention to one another. You could be suffering a terrifying ordeal. And nobody would ever know. Empty bedsits and flats all around. People too busy or out at work. Nobody about to witness the crime. It's a great plot. Have another slice of cake, darling.
Thanks. It's got a very unique taste, doesn't it?
Oh, my very special recipe. Oh. There's a secret ingredient.
Really? Are you going to open it?
Oh, I'm not hungry, darling. Not for cake, anyway. Besides, if I don't eat any, it means there's more for you, eh?
Yeah, it's lovely.
A little later on in the afternoon, Tom began to feel faint, almost drunk, but he couldn't be. After all, he'd only taken tea and Madeira cake.
You look a little wan, dear sweet. Sweeting, a little pale. Are you feeling unwell?
Oh, I am actually rather sleepy.
Oh, good. Just as I planned.
What?
You see, dear Tom, I've had my heart set on you since you first walked into my home. You're the one.
You're not trying to drug me. With that stuff.
No, sweetie. Perish the thought. I'm well past all that. I have another use for you altogether.
By this time, the effect of the drug was really taking hold, and Tom began to hallucinate.
You, my dear boy, are to be my next meal. I worked it out very carefully. You're alone in the world. Anyone who does know you won't realize you're gone until it's far too late. They'll think you've disappeared, depressed, sad, perhaps. I've managed it before with no problem. I was approached by a beggar in the street a while ago. I took pity on him, brought him home, cleaned him up and fed him, and then killed him. He didn't feel a thing. Very tidy, if I say so myself.
Tom staggered to the bathroom. Somehow, he managed to take out the mobile phone from his pocket.
Hello? Hello, is that the police? Help me. Help me, please.
Now then, sir. Calm down, please. Can you give me your whereabouts?
I've been trapped by a mad woman who says she's going to kill me and eat me.
Kill you and eat you, sir?
Yeah. Please hurry. I don't have much time.
And where is this alleged incident taking place, sir?
I'm at the home of Evelyn Dupree, Limes, Western Road.
And your name and date of birth, please?
Look, I haven't got time for that. Please get here.
Sir? Oh, he's gone.
Now that was very, very silly, dear Tom. I think we can get rid of the phone, can't we? Thank you. And now to dispose of the evidence. There. Gone.
You're mad.
crazy.
Get away with it.
Maybe I'm crazy, dear, but I'm not the one about to be tied to the butcher's block, am I? And I did expect something a little more original from you than you'll never get away with it. You disappoint me, Tom. This is the final reel of my production, my greatest epic. You would appreciate this, being the film buff you are. How many times have you seen the hero or heroine get into a scrape like this and all of a sudden they're rescued in the last few feet of film? The hero is saved. He gets the girl. The villain is vanquished. But not in my production, dear heart. There's never a happy ending for the victim. You are merely the walk-on. I am the star.
Please, I'll be on the way soon. No. I'll get you. What's happening? I'm in trouble with my nuts. This officer drives me. How did he drag me? How did he drag me?
The cake, dear. Remember?
Sierra Oscar 51, this is Central. We've just had a 999 from a chap who reckons he's been trapped by a madwoman who's going to eat him. Could be a hoax or a domestic, I suppose. Did sound a bit drunk. Just rang off in mid-sentence. But I suppose we'd better check it over.
Okay, Sarge. Where is it? Over.
The Limes, Western Road, just off Richmond Road. Over.
Got it, Sarge. I can be there in 5. Over.
Keep in touch, Steve. Let me know if you need any backup, matey. Probably all finished by now if there was anything to be over in the first place, though. Maybe you could get a drunk and disorderly out of it, though. Probably a 40 quid on the spot fine. Over.
You're all heart as usual, Sarge. Out.
Meanwhile, things were turning very nasty at the Limes.
Oh, you're heavier than you look. But of course you're a dead weight at the moment. I'm so sorry it's had to come to this, but I just knew you'd be a tasty morsel. Oh, I'll think of you often, and the happy hours we've spent together reminiscing.
Go to hell!
Too late, sweetie pie. I'm already there. Oh, you'll be pleased to know I won't kill you until you're quite unconscious and you won't feel a thing. I may be getting on a bit, but I'm still pretty good with an electric chainsaw. Do you remember that, dear Tom, in the scene from Blood of the Cannibal? When I take a chainsaw to that strapping private investigator prying about after the disappearance of the young heiress... I learned a lot in those films about how to kill with aplomb, panache, and a certain degree of style. But I really do think the cake routine is the best, though. Who would imagine a dear, sweet old film actress would be capable of mass murder and cannibalism using a Madeira cake? So simple and yet so deadly. Are you still with me? Tom? Good. He's fully under. Now for the preparation. Damn. What if he wasn't bluffing? What if he did get through to the police? Oh, God, I'd better go and see. Yes?
I'm sorry to bother you, madam, but we've had a report of a domestic incident at this address.
A domestic? Oh, how vulgar.
We had an emergency call from a man claiming to be trapped here by a woman who was, well, about to eat him. I'm sorry, madam, it sounds ludicrous, I know.
I can assure you there's nobody else here except Hitch, my little dog. Would you care to come in and check? Oh, I insist, Constable.
Okay, madam, if it's not too much trouble.
Of course not, dear boy. I was just about to prepare a snack when you arrived. Would you like a cup of tea? And a slice of Madeira?
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.